Okay, good evening. Let us turn to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. And the title reads, "To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah." Verse 1. "Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark heart. Wherefore, or why, should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, like the fool, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would grant us understanding from the psalm. Help us to examine our own lives and the motivation and the goal of our living. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Psalm 49 is among the class of psalms known as the Wisdom Psalms. And here, the psalmist is inviting the reader to listen, to learn from him. Now, you could say that the theme of this psalm is the frailty of wealth. It basically discusses what money cannot buy. And here, the psalmist is inviting the people, all people who would hear him, to listen to his words concerning wealth and the trappings of wealth. Now, I suppose it's good for me to remind us here that generally we are affluent, right? We are affluent. And so these words, I believe, particularly have meaning to us. Now, when the psalmist writes, he says, "Listen to me, I'll tell you a parable," right, sayings of old, it's as if he is someone who has his fair share of knocks in life. He has experienced this. Now he is mature, he has figured some things out, things that caused him to worry before. You know, he's seen rich people, wicked people. You know, now those things don't seem as grave to him anymore. And so he teaches us there is a way to respond to wealth, right? So he teaches us here not to fear. That's the first point. And what does he tell us not to fear? Verses 6 to 7, what do they say? They say, "Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in of their riches. Huh? Who are we not to fear? What are we not to fear? Well, verse 16 also says, be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. Now this seems to be quite biased, huh? Seems to say, don't be afraid of wealthy people. Well, what's wrong with wealth? Nothing is wrong with wealth, right? In fact, God is the one who gives us power to obtain wealth. Well, why does the psalmist say, don't fear those who are wealthy? Well, there are two possible motivations, okay? One motivation is, it is possible that the psalmist here, along with the psalmist in Psalm 37 and Psalm 73, that here, people can spend a lot of time fretting over why the wealthy seem to prosper, right? I mean, you hear of, what's that guy's name? Bernanke? Yeah? What's his name now? That guy who embezzled and then the Ponzi scheme. What's that guy's name? Bernard something, right? What's that? Is that what it is? Right, I mean, Madoff, yeah, Madoff, right? You know, I got people in my extended family who have embezzled money, insider training. I mean, you know, you have these kinds of things happening, right? People, you know, they get rich by unsavory means. I mean, how about us? You know, do we do the same? You know, sometimes I was preaching at Carmel and I was given the example of Tan Xiao Pianyi, right? Sometimes we go, right, who go to like the fast food restaurants, and then they'll take a big wad of paper napkins, right, to save, or, you know, so these are ways that people do things without integrity, right? When I was growing up, I used to go to the fast food place, and someone who was pretty close to me, we order, you know, chicken, right, from, it was a Hardee's. And this was in the U.S., and they had a condiment counter, right, and the condiments there were lettuce, tomato, and all the various things, pickles, and these were meant for people to dress their hamburgers. But after we bought chicken, you know, the person would take the lettuce, take all of these things for salad, what it was not meant to be. You know, so, you know, and the thing is, this person, it's actually a family, you know, relative, was filthy rich. You know, 2-3 houses, that kind of thing, but this kind of thing. You know, the rich do become wealthy often through means which are wicked. Right, so this is one possible motive, Psalm 37, Psalm 73, right, which teach us don't fret over these wicked people who get wealth in this manner. The second possible motivation is that, you know, don't be envious yourself when you see those who are wealthy and you are not. Now, whatever it is, whatever motivation it is, it becomes clear to this person here, to this psalmist, that wealth and the wealthy wicked are actually nothing in the bigger scheme of things. You know, firstly, the first thing that we see here is that we should not fear or envy, because wealth can contribute nothing when it comes to the human soul. Verse 7 says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Right? The soul is very costly. Verse 8 says, the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. What we learn here is that God cannot be bought. He cannot be bought off by anything material. You cannot pay God money to redeem your soul. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, We are redeemed by things which are far more precious, you know, than silver or gold. Right? We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Right? So wealth itself cannot contribute anything to the human soul. Now, secondly, we should not fear, because not only will wealth not save us, wealth will also not give us a legacy. Right? Will not give us a legacy. Now, the rich can't take the money with them when they die, so their thought is to leave it to others to receive honor in that way. Verses 10 to 11, it says, "For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. And listen, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names." Right? This is the legacy that they hope to leave behind from all of their wealth. You know, it's the same thing in back in my home country. You know, people give a lot of money, endowments to universities, so that the university can be named after them. Yeah, these may survive for a while until someone else richer comes, gives money, changes them, right? The legacy does not remain for long. Now, the psalmist here observes that the wise and the foolish both perish. They both leave their wealth to others. They think that their houses will endure forever. They name their lands after themselves, but they die and are soon forgotten. The psalm's grim conclusion is seen in verse 12. "Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish." Right? He's like the beasts that perish. There's really no difference. Now, Leo Tolstoy, you know, the Russian novelist, he wrote a short story, and it's entitled, "How Much Land Does a Man Need?" All right? And in that short story, it's about a man who keeps longing for more and more land. So he finally strikes a bargain for, you know, land that costs about 1,000 rubles, which is, I don't know what, like several dollars. And he can have all this land for 1,000 rubles, provided that he can walk around it in one day. But the catch is, if he does not finish walking the round or the perimeter of the land, he cannot have it. So he starts off early, and as the day goes by, his greed drives him further and further and further and further, so that he can have more land. So finally he realizes that the sun is getting low, so he turns and he starts to go back to his starting point, and he starts to pick up his pace. As the sun drops and lowering in the sky, the man starts running. He is sweating profusely, his heart is pounding, and just as the sun is setting, he sees the finish line and he gives it all that he's got. So he sprints up the hill, he reaches the finishing line just as the sun sets, and the story goes he falls to the ground and blood spurts out of his mouth and he dies. So on his land, his servant digs a grave just long enough for him to lie in, and he buries him. So Tolstoy concludes, 6 feet from his head to his heels, was all needed, right? So the psalmist's counsel is, do not fear when those who trust in their wealth increase in power. Their wealth can't buy them an escape from death. You know, at death, they will lose everything. So don't fear, right? The second point is this. The way of the wise is confidence in God and reflection in one's mortality. The psalmist points out that although people can't take their wealth with them, they know that death is certain. But even though they know that death is certain, they can't take their wealth with them, they still don't learn the lesson, right? Verse 13 tells us that, you know, many people die, they see many people die, but yet their posterity approve their sayings. Well, what does this mean? In other words, people see rich men dying. They see that they're not able to with them. But these same people who see that these rich people die, who can't take their wealth with them, are the same people who still try to get rich, right? Who still hunger after riches. And this is folly. Now, according to James Montgomery Boyce, he says concerning this verse, you do not have to have wealth to perish because of wealth. You do not have to have wealth to perish because of wealth. You can perish equally well merely by making money your goal and forgetting spiritual things. As a reminder to us, right? Wealth in my own extended family has been, let me just share this, right? It's been horrible. My grandfather had two wives. Or my grandfather was quite wealthy. So my father was from the family, right? So they generally got all the money and inheritance and things like this. Until my grandfather, right, during the war, he lost a lot of money, and he tried to embezzle, and he tried, that's how the story goes, right? He got involved with bad schemes, the police came to the house, he had to flush things down the toilet, and things like that, right? But they generally enjoyed a good life, but they saw the trappings of wealth. But it still did not stop the problems. You know, I've got relatives who sue one another for money. It's disgusting, right? But even though we see how wealth, you can't take it and sometimes it gets lost, you know, yet people don't learn the lesson. They still pursue wealth in this manner. And James Boyce's words are very accurate. You can perish equally well by making money your goal and forgetting spiritual things, right? I don't want to say so many bad things about my family, my extended family, but, you know, I've got many wealthy relatives, but, you know, like I said, 贪小便宜, you know, it's almost as if money becomes their god, and they split over money. And what we see in verse 14 is very interesting. They think that by being on top of money is a good thing. They're in control. But what does verse 14 say? Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. So they're not people who have control over their destiny, but they're people who are being led by their greed. Right, like sheep, they're mindlessly following after it, except their shepherd is not the Lord. Their shepherd is wealth, and it will only lead them to death. So what is the way of the wise? What is the way of the wise? It is confidence and trust in God. Verse 15 says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. So the psalmist here has hope. It's not wealth. It's not how much money you have. It's not, you know, how you can get that wealth. It's not how much you leave behind, what kind of legacy that you have. But the psalmist here had a bigger hope that God would receive him. He can't pay any money for his own soul to God, but it is God that graciously receives him. So here you see a contrast. The foolish trust in their wealth. When they die, they take nothing, but they'll go to the grave. The wise, however, they trust in God and they will redemption of God. And here the psalmist talks a lot about mortality, that we will die. It's a certainty. And so here he encourages us to reflect also on our mortality. And how much do we think about death? You know, sure, you know, my father, he's 80, and he's always saying, oh, this is my last Chinese New Year, I won't live very much longer. And he frequently does think about death, you know, about meeting the Lord to be freed from, you know, all of his body aches and things like that. But how about all of us, you know, currently, at our ages, do we think about death? Right? Maybe I've got more cause to think about death if I don't slim down, right? But, you know, we ought to think about it more. Now, Jonathan Edwards, when he was 19, he wrote down 70 resolutions to govern his life. Now, number nine, resolve to think much on all occasions of my dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. Now, Edwards, I believe, was applying the message of Psalm 49. You know, because we will all die, and we don't know when, our focus should not be on the riches of life. I mean, it should be to still be responsible, you know, to fulfill the cultural mandate, you know, but our focus should be on eternity with God. So this psalm teaches us not to lay up treasures on earth, but to invest in the world to come. And if we do have wealth, to obtain it righteously and to dispense with it judiciously. Pray. Gracious Father, we pray that you would increase our faith to trust more in you, to invest more in spiritual things, to invest more on our spiritual lives. Lord, we pray that in all our getting and obtaining wealth, even as you have enabled us to do so and to have dominion over the world, we pray that, Lord, the principles found in Scripture will be the light that guides us. So, Lord, we pray that you would teach us, especially here, being as affluent as we are, to consider what we are doing with our money and how much we love our money, that we may surrender even these things at your feet to do with it as you will. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.